Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he wrote, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, Christ is a Christian's life. Christ is a Christian's identity. Christ is a Christian's hope. Christ is a Christian's peace. Christ is a Christian's security. Christ is a Christian's joy in a joyless world. Christ is a Christian's advocate with the Father. Christ is a Christian's righteousness. Christ is a Christian's propitiation for his or her sins. Christ is everything to a true believer. Christ has reconciled us to God. Christ is everything. He's our all in all. A Christian has been made alive in Christ, has everlasting peace, hope, joy, security in Christ. As the Apostle Paul wrote, he says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is our hope. And peace and joy and security, the divine life in the soul of a Christian, in the soul of a man or a woman. You know, another place, Paul wrote that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ. It's Christ who lives in me. That changed everything for the Apostle Paul. And that changes everything for a Christian. It's Christ who lives in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is, you could almost see, Paul's kind of like saying, my life is wrapped up in Christ. Christ envelops me. It's all about Christ. Christ must increase and I must decrease. Christ. It's in Christ. It's Christ in me, me in him, around me, Christ living in me and through me. It's all about Christ. Christ is the fountainhead of life, and he is a Christian's life. He's everything to a Christian. You know, Diane would have pointed you to this verse, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you were to ask her what is the most important thing in her life, she would have told you it was her relationship with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She would have said, my relationship with the Lord of my life gives me meaning and purpose and direction and hope and peace and joy. And he alone. He gives me meaning and purpose in living and in dying. He's my life. That's what she would have said. Now, this was not always true for Diane. It wasn't always true for her. I first met Diane in somewhere back in 1986, maybe 1985, but I do remember meeting her in 1986 at a Jimtown football game. And I went there and I met her there. She was taking tickets at the gate, and I didn't come to see her, but I came to see her daughter, who was playing there in the high school band, Renee. But, you know, Diane was once living for herself, apart from God, apart from Christ. She lived to please herself. Everything was from her and through her and to her. To her be the glory. That's how she lived at one time. She was doing what was right in her own eyes, living apart from Christ, but But somebody once said, I just love the buts in the Bible, but God who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, with which He loved her. He made her alive in Christ Jesus when she was once dead in her trespasses and sins. He didn't leave her to herself, to go her own way. God had loved Diane from before the foundations of the world, and He loved her. And then He chose her to be His very own before the foundations of the world. And then, in time, He redeemed her through the precious blood of His Son, her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, there was a glorious transformation that took place in Diane's life. It took place back in October 2004, at the age of 61. Praise the Lord. Even at that age, he knew her, and then he came and he took hold of her, even at that late age, that time in life. She came, though, to know the Lord at the age of 61. The Lord, we could say, came to know her, right? He came to be known by Him. That's what happened. So she came to know the Lord of life, and she began to say, as Paul said in Philippians, that for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And you know, the effectual call of God through the preached word of God and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God, they came together at that moment when she was sitting under the preached word of God. And in that same creative power that made the heavens and the earth was at work in her, and she was born again. She was born from above. She became a Christian at that very moment. She came to see for the first time the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There was a radical transformation that took place. He opened the eyes of her heart, and He revealed to her His glory. And in light of His holiness, you know, her sins were then revealed to her. And she was like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he was lifted up. And he saw the Lord in all His glory and said, "Oh, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eye has seen the glory of the Lord." And that's the way she was when she looked for the very first time with spiritual eyes upon the glory of God, and His holiness was shown on her, and she saw her sins for what they truly were in light of His holiness. So God did that, though. And He revealed her sinful and corrupt heart and spiritual state of condemnation to her. And for the first time, she saw herself as a great sinner in need of God's grace. And she saw Jesus Christ as a great Savior, full of God's grace. And this was just the beginning, though, of her new life. Back in October 2004. By God's grace, she was freely justified by faith in Christ, and her guilt and her shame was washed away through the precious blood of Christ, and she became a child of God, an heir and co-heir with Christ. And God removed the fences that stood between Him and her through Christ. And she was reconciled to God in Christ. The penalty and the power of sin were taken away through faith in Christ. And now even the presence of sin has been removed. from her. God had removed the scales, though, from her eyes and the veil from her heart, and he breathed new life into her lifeless soul. It was all of God. All of God. All of his grace. All of his mercy. All of God. And all through Christ, by the power of his Spirit. God put his Spirit within her, and he shed his love abroad in her heart. He showed her mercy. And she loved him because, why? Because he first loved her from before the foundations of the world. Her new union to Christ, as they call it, the mystical union. Her new union with Christ by faith and her being adopted into the family of God changed everything. Everything. She began to live with a vertical orientation and an eternal perspective instead of just living on the horizontal plane. Changed everything for her. No longer living and investing in the temporal, but in the eternal. Living and investing in and for the vertical and the eternal. Storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not break in or destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. And she began living for the one who lived and died for her. Everything changed. She was born again. Everything. I had the privilege of experiencing that, seeing that. Amazing. She began to call upon him, the one who lived and died for her, and worship him. She pursued him and sought to serve him and sought to order her life in accordance to his word. She yielded herself, her heart to him. And she gave her life to him who loved her and gave himself for her. And he took up that rightful place on the throne of her heart. And she worshipped him, and she found her identity and purpose and meaning and joy and hope and her in him and him alone in Christ. And her union with him influenced her way of life and her pursuits and her hobbies even. I saw all those change over time. Her value system. Everything was changed. Every area of her life and being, and increasingly so, for me to live as Christ. I had the privilege, like I say, of watching her relationship with Christ grow and flourish over time as her son-in-law, who lived with her for 22 years. I've known her for over 30-some years now. And so I saw that. So as her son-in-law and pastor even, I watched the Lord, though, at work in her, patiently and gently pressing her and molding her and refining her and purifying her and making her more and more into the likeness of Christ. He was at work in her, using every life circumstance, whether bitter or sweet, every hardship, every affliction, every loss or gain, everything. Every disappointment and accomplishment and every ailment to prepare her for glory. And she didn't refuse Christ's yoke, nor her Heavenly Father's chastening hand. She would be the first to tell you, Lord, will be done. He's using this for my good. I'm going to trust in him, even though I don't understand this. But she yielded herself to the Lord, submitted herself to his word, his will, his way, for His glory. And she didn't refuse any of that. And you know, this is not perfectly, but consistently. It is not perfection, but it was a new direction. A new direction, new aspirations, new desires, new purpose and meaning in life. It was all about Christ. All about Christ. She desired to serve Him, please Him, live for Him, to bring Him glory and honor through every thought, word, and deed. She was preparing herself for glory. Her life was not wasted, not even one moment. She was preparing herself for glory. Thomas Watson wrote that life is the porch of eternity. Here the believer dresses himself that he may be fit to enter in with the bridegroom. So this life is the porch to eternity. This is like the dressing room where we're preparing for eternity. We're preparing to meet the bridegroom. And, you know, she was on the same page as God. He was preparing her for that day when He would receive her into glory, and she was preparing for that very thing, knowing that heaven is her home. She was clothing herself with righteousness, the righteousness of God, while putting off all that was unlike Christ. She was preparing for glory. She was getting dressed for the occasion. As the psalmist wrote, "You will guide me with your counsel, and then afterwards you receive me, you will receive me into glory." So she was keeping an eye on eternity, living for eternity, not wanting to forget that this life was the porch of eternity. So for a Christian, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To die is gain for a Christian. Paul understood to die is gain. Death would not sever Paul's union with Christ. But death would actually bring, death actually brings a Christian into a deeper experience of Christ. A deeper experience of that union with Christ. Death doesn't separate a child of God from his or her God, but it brings us into a deeper experience with our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this in Romans about God's inseparable love in Romans 8, very familiar passage. In Romans 8, verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, and all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, through Christ, who loved us. For I am sure that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing could separate Diane from the love of God in Christ Jesus, not even death. Nothing. To die is gain, not loss for the Christian. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be at home with the Lord. And that's where she is. She's at home with the Lord. Diane is experiencing a deeper fellowship with the one who lived and died to secure eternal life and the forgiveness of her sins. She's rejoicing in the presence of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, like never before. And we also are rejoicing through tears of sorrow with her, our loss, but her gain. To die is gain for a child of God. She's experiencing a life without pain or disease. Without sin. No more doubt. No more fear. Without want or sorrow. Death is the gate to life. For the Christian, she's in a better home, enjoying a better fellowship, singing with a better choir, joining her voices with the angels in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is He. To Him who is seated upon the throne and to the Lamb be glory and honor, power and might forever and ever. And you know, she's being ministered to by a far greater shepherd. Far, far greater shepherd. She's wearing a better raiment, having been clothed with a white robe given to her right out of the hand of her Lord and Savior here. She is enjoying the sweetest fellowship with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would be one in any other way. I wouldn't want her back, even if we could have her back for that very reason. She's at home with the Lord. Better place. Better fellowship. Better everything. Everything is better for her now than it was here in this world. Diane went home to be with her. Our Lord and Savior, at 4:33 a.m. on October 12th. You know, death has been swallowed up by life for her. She is really living right now, like never before. She has just begun to truly live, and now she's seeing Him, the one who loved her and lived and died for her, and He's seeing her even now and in all His fullness, all His glory, all His grandeur. And this was the Lord's doing, not man's. It was His timing, His way. And she was ready to go. but it was the Sovereign Lord's doing. Our Lord prayed, you know, for his sheep to be with him where he is. In John chapter 17, the Lord prayed to his heavenly Father. He says, Father, I will that those who you have given to me would be with me where I am, so that they might behold my glory. The Father answered that prayer. She's seeing him in all his glory. That's the exact thing that Jesus Christ prayed for. And the Father answered that prayer. She's seeing him, beholding him in all his glory. Diane is at home in glory. You know, she was ready to go. She died in peace. Life was her porch to eternity. She was prepared to meet her maker in that day, and she was prepared to meet the bridegroom. Somebody wrote that death is the believer's ferryman to ferry him or her over to the land of rest. It opens up the portal into heaven. There. That was what death did. It just took her home, to her real home. To heaven. So she was preparing and she was ready to go. She sought to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ while she was here in preparation for that very day. This life is but a stepping stone to the next, preparation ground for eternity. And that's what she used it for. Rightly used it to that end. And what about you? What about you? Are you ready? You know, it is appointed for every man to die once and then judgment. You can't escape it. It's not possible. Unless the Lord returns. But you can't escape death. You can't hide from it. Someday you're going to die. So you have to ask yourself, are you ready? Are you ready to die? Diane was ready. She said, you know, she told me, I am ready to go home to be with my Heavenly Father. I'm ready. She was adamant about that. She wasn't clinging to this world. She let go of the world so she could go home. Her hope was not in the things of the world, but in her God and Savior. She was at peace because her mind was stayed upon Him, and He gave her His peace. He promised to do that to those who whose mind is stayed upon Him, He will give them His peace because they trust in Him. She's been reconciled to God in Christ, and she had been reconciled, and she was ready to go home and behold our Lord and Savior in glory. And we could say she was taking heaven by storm. She was ready to go. Nothing could stand in her way. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, I desire to depart and be with Christ. You know, he didn't say I must. He said, I desire. I have this great desire, this wish to depart and be with Christ. And the word there is to loosen the anchor. Like a ship leaving port, I desire to depart and go. Christ. It's like I say, it's like a ship leaving port, and so that we might sail from one port to the another, from earth to heaven. I desire to depart and be free from this world and from this body of death, so that I might make that final trip and arrive at my final destination. So that I might arrive home in glory and be with Christ forevermore. She just didn't have a desire to die. She had a desire to go home and be with the Lord. In this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. And that was her desire, not just to die, but to go home, to be further clothed, to put off this body of death. Diane had that same desire, though, as Paul did, to depart and be with Christ, not just to die, to be freed from any pain or suffering, but to be set free so that she could make that final trek across the sea of death and arrive home in glory, and now to live forever and ever in the presence of her God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's where she is. What about you? Are you dressing for eternity? Are you just wasting this life? Are you wasting this valuable time that God has granted you to prepare for eternity? Are you preparing to meet the bridegroom, or will you be found naked in the day you die? Are you still clothed in your sins, or have you repented of your sinful lifestyle and humbly and freely received the garment of salvation and put on the robe of righteousness? Are you still living in rebellion against God? You know, if you haven't unclothed yourself of your sins, repented and turned from them and forsaken your sinful way of living and your self-righteousness and your self-centered lifestyle, and turn to God through Christ, through faith in Christ, then you cannot put on the clean, spotless robe of Christ's righteousness, which is offered freely, freely offered to all who come to God through faith in Christ. You can't earn it. You have to take hold of it by faith. You take hold of the promise by faith. Faith in Christ. But if you're just trying to work your way to eternal life and earn God's favor and acceptance, then you'll fail, because God says that all your works are filthy rags apart from Christ. Works are the fruit of salvation, not the root. Someone once told me you need to keep the works on the right side of the cross. The Bible says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. God's grace, his unmerited favor. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but it's a gift. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So be tired and weary of trying and failing, then stop. No one can ever meet up to God's standards of God's standard of perfection. No one. You can't do it. That's what Christ said. Remember, he says, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest, he says. He'll give you rest. You come and you take all your guilt and your sin, and you cast all that up on him, and you take upon yourself his yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he says. He's a savior. He saves sinners. So you go to him, put your trust and hope and faith in him. But you know, don't tell me you're a Christian if your life is not being lived and ordered in accordance to the Word of God. No easy believism here. Not at BRBC and not for Diane. Obedience to Christ is not optional. It's not optional. It's not optional for the true child of God. If you think your faith apart from obedience to the Word of God is enough to save, then Diane would tell you otherwise. She would correct you, rightly so. No easy believism. Jesus must be Lord and Savior of your life, or he's nothing to you. You know, if you live, if for you to live is money, then to die is loss. If you to live is pleasure, then to die is loss. If for you to live is self, then to die is loss. If for you to live is your family, then to die is loss. If for you to live is your church denomination, then to die is loss. If you to live is ambition, then to die is loss. If for you to live is sin, then to die is loss. If for you to live is the world's goods and cares and concerns and pleasures, then to die is loss. But if you live, for you to live is Christ, then to die is gain, a real gain. Jesus said, I am the resurrection of the and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, in closing, one of her favorite, Diane's favorite verses was Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations. The Lord says, I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. She would repeat that verse over and over again, just mainly to be still and know that I'm God, over and over again in her time of uncertainty and distress, which leads us to our closing hymn. This is one of the many hymns that we sung as we gathered around Diane in her final hours in this world. Let us sing it now. And then I'll close in prayer afterwards. Be still, my soul.